This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The monarch is experiencing mild cold-like symptoms, but expects to continue what they call light duties at Windsor over the coming week. But Queen Elizabeth has tested positive for COVID. We know that Charles did test positive as well. Perhaps that is where she got it, but who knows? The Queen will be 96 in April. She had her first vaccine in January of 2021 and is believed to have had all of her follow-up jabs after that. In the meantime, Justin Bieber also tests positive for COVID and has to move a concert. So we still do live in the world of positive testing, especially with the famous and the infamous. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, how was your weekend? It is weekend where we saw the Olympics come to a close, and there is the final medal count as the United States walked away with 25 total medals, 8 of them gold, 10 silver, and 7 bronze. None of them going to alpine sensation skier Michaela Schifrin. She was in 5 events, and boy, I was really rooting for her. She had a very, very tough time. There were other American stars and other stars from those games as well. One thing there wasn't was ratings. Lots of people did not tune into the Olympics, a source of debate throughout the entire time in Beijing. Is it the politics of the crummy China regime? Is it because we just don't care about Winter Olympics? Is it because of the time the Olympics aired? Probably all of those things, and maybe some other things as well. And there wasn't great big headlines other than some bizarre controversies that came out of the Olympics. All right, controversy continues to brew in the Ukraine, but how about this? Big, big news. That's why I love that this show is live coming at you with some breaking news, really, because President Biden agrees in principle to a summit with Vladimir Putin if the Ukraine is not invaded. Lots of people concerned about what's going to happen in the Ukraine. Could it be World War III? Certainly in Europe, it's their biggest challenge and maybe their biggest war since 1945. Of course, it would be if that happened. Macron pled for peace in a 2-hour phone call, and maybe something shifted because the final decision does hinge on this outcome of these scheduled talks between the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. But President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin, like I said, have agreed in principle, that is the key word, to this supposed summit to discuss the situation in the Ukraine. This was announced just a while ago. The White House confirmed the agreement. 3 sources, including 2 White House officials, said a final decision on that would only be made after the talks I just mentioned. The Biden administration has repeatedly said, yep, we're open to a meeting with Putin. We're open to doing it, not if they step foot in the Ukraine. I've said this many, many times. Why do you care? If you are listening to me right now, do you say to yourself, lady, I don't care about the Ukraine. Why are we even talking about the Ukraine? It's nowhere near us. The problem is you should care about the Ukraine because we're going to have troop investment. And the president has said as much, not, oh, we're running in with troops, just that we've amassed troops close to the areas of the Ukraine, and because we're involved with NATO, and because troops would be part of NATO, which would mean American troops would be involved in this situation. So we care. We have just come out of two very long wars, and we absolutely would have skin in the game. This is important if this summit happens. I looked at the tanks that are moving in the Russia-Belarus military drills, and it is scary to see it, honestly. It looks like, just like that, they are over that border. So this is it. This weekend was a big weekend, especially with that announcement. I mean, on Sunday, Biden had a rare weekend meeting of the National Security Council focused, what, on the Ukraine. Because you had Blinken, for one, who was just back from Europe. So he hightailed it over the West Wing. And there was participation from everybody across the board involved in this about probably the scenarios, laying out what the scenarios would be, because last week was a crazy week where Russia was throwing out all these false flag operations. And then the supposed military exercises that you saw video and photos of to justify that military buildup near the Ukrainian border. But the actual invasion could happen so easily. And there's plenty of military to go around for Russia to make that a very easy scenario. So the bottom line here is, yes, something is happening. But which way does this go? What direction will this fall? And you, ladies and gentlemen, should give a damn about this because, as I said, skin in the game. Our troops would be involved in NATO, which would mean if there was a full-scale invasion, they would be in the middle of this as part of NATO, which is why Macron, especially in Europe, they're concerned about it, was pleading for peace in that phone call. Because for Europe, definitely, they are on the verge. Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that signs are in place, that something has begun. Intelligence suggests that Russia intends to launch an invasion that will encircle the Ukrainian capital. And what would be the cost of human life, which is what he talks about? The latest estimates, 169 to 190,000 Russian troops are stationed along that border, both in Russia and neighboring Belarus. So this is imminent, because if they invade, it will be bloody. If they invade, innocent people will get killed in the Ukraine. The Ukraine, which desperately wants to be part of NATO, and which Vladimir Putin does not want to see happen. So the Ukrainian question is very much at play this week. Medals. What happened in the Olympics? Things to walk away from. Talking about them next.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
To be excited about for Olympic athletes that hail from the United States. 25 total medals, as I mentioned, at the top. 8 gold, 10 silver, 7 of them bronze. Norway had the most medals, 37. They had 16 gold, 8 silver, and 13 bronze. The Russian Olympic Committee had 32, Germany 27, so we were fourth in the count overall with 26. There were some great moments in the Olympics and some final moments in the Olympics I thought that were pretty interesting, including the U.S. winning women's bobsled bronze, Elena Myers-Taylor winning that bronze at the two-woman bobsled event. So she became the most decorated black athlete in Winter Olympics history with 5 medals. She teamed up with Sylvia Hoffman, finished at 4:05:48, punched her fist in the air, and she went across the finish line. And this was wonderful because last week at 37, you think about what she did. She tied speed skater Shawnee Davis's record for the most medals, 4, when she won silver in the women's monobob event, which debuted in Beijing, which means just one woman, one sled, and a killer course. So those were a couple of big moments for her, for sure. Other moments from the Olympics with athletes that I thought were exciting. I love the story of Nick Baumgartner and Lindsay Jacobellis snowboarding the mixed team snowboard cross. Because for Bumgardner, that was huge for him to win gold in the Olympics. Certainly for Jacobellis, she had been there before, but they were both older athletes. He's 40, for goodness sake. That's like being a grandpa on a board. And he was amazing to watch in that event. Then there was the freestyle skiing, the mixed team aerials, where you had Caldwell and Lillis and Schoenfeld making history as the gold medalists in the debut of that at the Olympics. Yay! The big story of Nathan Chen, the first Asian-American to win gold in men's figure skating at the Olympics. It was a wonderful routine that he put on. He deserved it. Alex Hall, freestyle skiing, men's slope style. He won his first medal. It was exciting to see him do that. I mentioned the bobsled and the women's mono bobsled. How about this? Kaylee Humphreys, the world's most successful female bobsled driver, ditched Canada for the U.S., won gold in the first mono bobsled competition. Erin Jackson, fun to watch, the first black woman to win an Olympic speed skating medal for the U.S. She did it in the 500 meters. She got that spot because a teammate gave it up to her. She goes back to Florida pretty pumped and excited when you think 5 years ago she wasn't even speed skating. I mentioned Lindsay Jacobellis. She competed in her fifth games, and she won the first gold medal of the Beijing Olympics and her first Olympic medal since 2006. She was psyched. Chloe Kim, fun to watch. She defended her Olympic title and became the first woman to win two gold medals in women's half pipe. Then you had the story of Jessie Diggins, cross-country skiing, the 30-kilometer mass start. She won the final medal in Beijing, competing in the longest cross-country event at the Games. There was a story of Nick Gepper, who won 3 of 9 medals since men's slopestyle debuted in 2014. In addition to this year's silver, he won bronze in Sochi and silver in Pyeongchang. Then there was the story of Colby Stevenson. Doctors thought he would never ski again. He had a horrific car accident in 2016 where he was really pieced back together. But he won a silver in the first big air event at the Olympics. Boy, I was cheering him on. Figure skating, a disaster because of some of the overlying themes in this. But this wasn't a disaster. The silver medal for the U.S. best result in the team event since it debuted in 2014. So silver medal for the U.S. United States women's hockey couldn't get the gold, but hey, they got the silver against arch rival Canada. David Wise, freestyle skiing men's halfpipe, 31 years old, earned his third Olympic medal in the halfpipe, but missed out on a third consecutive gold. Bronze is good. Brittany Bowe, who gave up that 500-meter spot to Jackson, who I mentioned, her winning the gold in the 500. She competed in her third Olympics, won her first individual medal, so good for her. It was fun to watch her do that. Then there is the story of Madison Hubble and Zach Donahue, partners for more than a decade. They won the first medals of their career by winning a bronze medal. Then there was also the story of the 25-year-old who was a gymnast until college. She won bronze in her first trip to the Olympics, competing in freestyle skiing women's aerials. I don't know how they do what they do on those skis. I do not know how they do it. So anyway, the United States, congratulations for some of those big moments. There were some moments that missed, and I think the biggest one, and hopefully she doesn't beat herself up too badly, it is sports, it is the agony of defeat, but Michaela Schifrin leaving the Olympics with Zippo medals, none. I was really hoping in the overall event, in the team event, that she would be able to have a serious run at that, but it didn't happen. So it was very anticlimactic to end on Sunday in the bronze medal race of a wind-delayed mixed team parallel skiing event. She had been hoping to salvage this crazy time in Beijing with at least one final shot. add a medal as part of the American team, but that did not happen. They got fourth place. They were out of the medals. Still, she was positive after the race, and she praised her teammates, which is a very good thing. She said, "I have a lot of disappointing moments at these games, but this was not one of them. It, in fact, is my favorite memory. This is the best possible way I could imagine ending the game skiing with such strong teammates." Already one of the most decorated alpine skiers in history, the owner of three previous Olympic medals. She's 26. She was expected to win lots of medals, at least a couple, at the Beijing Games, and she wanted to compete in all five individual disciplines. So she did participate in every event, but it did not go according to plan. She recorded the did not finish results in the giant slalom, and alpine combined races. She finished ninth in the Super G, 18th in the downhill. Had she won a medal, she would have tied Julia Mancuso for the most medals by an American woman in alpine skiing. So she's been pretty candid about her struggles throughout the games and confusion, saying, "I don't know, sometimes you just have to take it, I guess. Try to fix it the next time. I don't know what I'm supposed to fix. That's the frustrating thing. I don't know. I don't think there's something to fix. It just went really, really wrong." So then the next question becomes, she's such an incredible racer. She is 26. She could definitely compete in the next Olympics. Will she do that? I hope so. I hope she gets that confidence back or whatever it is, and skis the next time around. But then she has to qualify, of course, like anyone else. And it's all about that. But for now, the Olympics is packed away. It was a Sunday night closing in Beijing that, highlighted, I guess, the overall feelings for some of the games. And the athletes, of course, were excited about being there, and so it officially wrapped up on Sunday morning, which would be 7 a.m. Eastern, with a closing ceremony. And you had U.S. flag bearers Elena Myers Taylor, who I mentioned, walking into the Beijing National Stadium along with other flag bearers from the participating countries. Then the Olympic athletes mass walked in the Parade of Nations. That's always a big deal. Some with their country's flags, others with the names of the countries written on their hats. And, you saw some pumped-up athletes for sure. But it's in the books. Now the next one is 2026. The Winter Olympics next time around in 2026 will be in Italy. We head to the mailbag coming up around the bend.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The Russia-Ukraine crisis remains front and center of mind for the U.S. and its allies.
While attending the Munich Security Conference, Vice President Harris said they've seen Russia do this type of thing before. She said this to Ukrainian President Zelensky.
The United States takes seriously the importance of the integrity and the territorial integrity of Ukraine and your sovereignty. And the United States stands with Ukraine.
She also said there would be a swift and united response if an invasion does take place. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
For the first time since the pandemic began, Australia will reopen its borders to international visitors on Monday. Its citizens and residents have been allowed to travel in and out of the country. This is USA Radio News. A rodent infestation at a regional warehouse for Family Dollar has prompted a discount store chain to recall a wide range of products, including food and cosmetics. The products were sold between January 2021 and February of this year in stores across six states. Those states are Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Concerns about the infestation has led to the closure of the warehouse located in West Memphis, Arkansas, and more than 400 stores. A Realtor.com analysis across the 50 largest metro areas of properties with two or more bedrooms rose more than 19% between December 2020 and December 2021. Miami saw the biggest jump with a median rent of $2,850 a month. That's nearly 50% higher than the previous year. For news anytime, log on to usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and six hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Hey, we're jumping right in because we are flooded with email. Let's see how many we can rip through. This is Mac. He says he's listening to us this time around on KCAA. Hey, Delaney, I caught you in Los Angeles, and I just want to say this thing with the Ukraine is serious. I'm glad that you do bring it up on the show instead of the same old nonsense I hear throughout the day when I'm traveling. Not that other people aren't talking about the Ukraine, but you're right. We should care because we absolutely will have some blood, sweat, and tears in this, according to what we're hearing coming out of Washington. Let's hope that somehow there is a push to push Putin back. But I fear that we could be seeing the worst. I hear you. I fear the worst, too, because of some of the photographs I've seen. And we know, I mean, listen, almost 200,000 different tanks and troops that are settled there on the border, they will crush the people that are still there in the Ukraine. Trust me, there are still people there. Hopefully most of the Americans have gotten out and some from other countries. But this is more than just, oh, there's some tension in the air. No, Putin does not want the Ukraine to be part of NATO. Putin wants the Ukraine to be back in the fold of Russia, period. And we are in this. I mean, we're in this. And you have a lot of Ukrainian Americans, by the way, are massively troubled by what they're seeing, and they are pleading for peace as this escalates because they have family members in the Ukraine. But just on the basic surface of it all, why do we care as Americans because young people you know could be thrown into the middle of this as they serve, and we thank them for their service, and they have been deployed near the areas where they would be wrapped up as part of NATO, because we are part of NATO, which Biden has said we have to preserve NATO, so, and we have to be the beacon of freedom. So this is not going to go away unless it goes away diplomatically. Scary. Jack is listening to us in Austin, Texas, and Jack says, Kate, this crap with Putin is just more of the same. I mean, the guy has Europe by the short ones, if you know what I mean. I don't know how else to describe it because of the oil situation that you talked about. The heating is going to go, the heating oil is going to go sky high, and they need that pipeline. And this is, I think, why the Germans are so concerned about it, because just cutting that off is not that easy. And then you have the whole NATO thing in the mix of this. And I think Putin is one of those guys that, hey, if the wind blows in a certain direction, he just might make the move. And if he does, then we will be pulled into this. You know, absolutely. Look, European allies have joined us, the U.S., in pledging sanctions against Putin. And they keep saying, oh, well, what are the sanctions? Heavy, massive, swift, severe, But, you know, they're already starting a little bit of shelling here and there. So this could be one of the most one-sided and bloodiest assaults in European history. That's what it could be. I don't put it past him to do it. I don't put it past him to say, yep, I'm ready to open it up. I mean, look, what we saw happen in the Crimea, they annexed Crimea, who says that that's not the strategy of Putin, right? He wants to cauterize the Ukraine, definitely, right? And are the Ukrainians going to have a long, drawn-out battle? And how are they going to be able to do that? They're going to have support from the U.S. and from Europe. I mean, that's quite simply, that's what it is. So it's all, we just keep hearing NATO. Where that's what the deal. And Klitschko says, we're ready to defend our land, our people. And he's the mayor of the capital city. But good luck when you see what they have coming their way. So the West has to negotiate this, right? I mean, this is the way it looks. I mean, the Ukraine is like a hostage. And someone described it that way, and I thought, oh, that's brilliant. It might have been something I read in the Washington Post somewhere. But I thought, yes, that's it. They are hostages. So what do you do in this situation? It's a hard question. It really is. And this is a very big, big week. All right, let's move in a different direction. This one is from Joe. He says, Kate, I heard you talking about that you didn't like auto racing, used to make fun of it, and then you actually went very close to the action, got to know some of the drivers, were in the pits, and you really have respect for the great sport of NASCAR. So what did you think of the Daytona 500? I do have great respect, and it is the Super Bowl of auto racing, starting with the biggest event first, Austin Cindric. Got the checkered flag, and you say, who? 23 years old. He beat out Bubba Wallace. So it's his first career NASCAR Cup Series win. I mean, a very big one, right? It was a crazy race because there was a lot of red flags. There was the race had red was red flagged with 9 laps to go. That's what I mean by the red flag. After a wreck that involved Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, and a few other drivers, made that happen. So it's interesting. Then they have the restart with 7 laps to go, But you have like Denny Hamlin. He crashed out of it for the first time in his career. He's won it 3 times. And there are some new interesting twists to this. It's always about what's happening with the cars and what's happening track-wise, mostly cars. So you had different body styles, and there were some new elements that were designed to help actually curb costs for teams and provide maybe a little bit closer racing, as it was described to me. And you did see closer racing, so from that perspective, it worked. So there you go. I thought it was a very good start to the season. So let's go from racing to something else. Let's go to Tommy, who is listening to us in Kentucky, in Bowling Green, Kentucky. He says, "Hi, Miss Kate. I am looking at the landscape, if you know what I mean. And in looking at the landscape, you've talked about this. You've talked about what's happening with the price of food and what's happening with the price of gas and still the supply chain problems. I think a lot of people are catching on that it is really shocking when you start to look down and look at your bills and you realize how it is all adding up, especially when you see the consumer price index, which my wife showed me, is almost 8%. How much higher can you go? Yeah, let's not say that. How much higher can you go? It's funny. I think a lot of people are sort of waking up to it. I don't know if too busy dealing with other things in their lives and just, oh, let me look at that grocery receipt. Oh, that's right. I'm pulling up and I'm filling up and it's, wow, it keeps on ticking up. So gas, milk, electricity, and it's funny, you're from Kentucky. You had the governors of Maine and Kentucky joining a number of other states, including Illinois, Massachusetts, California, Florida, Alabama, Washington, and Missouri. They're considering offering temporary relief to taxpayers that are crushed by this surge in inflation, because it is almost 8%. So the consumer price index hit a 40-year high last month, 7.5%. And some of that is the pandemic-related supply disruptions, of course. So, I don't know. So, and this is kind of a bipartisan thing, so it's interesting that you brought this up, because you have Democrats and Republican states that are coming together trying to figure out, like, all right, we've got some surpluses, let's get it back to the taxpayers. And state lawmakers' tax relief wish lists kind of from food store purchases to property tax relief to what you're paying at the pump to retail and vehicles of all kinds, sales, because that's a big deal, obviously. Alabama last week approved a bill that would allow families to avoid paying state income tax on monthly child tax credit payments they got under Biden's economic relief package. Again, Kentucky's Governor Andy Beshear signed an executive order halting an increase in vehicle property taxes that have climbed substantially because of skyrocketing car values, right? So also a plan to slice the state's sales tax by 1% for 1 year. That would start July 1st to help families that are getting hit with these higher costs. You know, so there a lot of things are happening in different states. New York and Connecticut, they're introducing legislation to temporarily exempt or reduce the state's sales tax rate, too. That's another thing that's happening there because of the crisis that people are seeing. Oh, especially groceries. You go to get groceries. I see it right away. Whether it's a handful of things or it's a little more than that. And it's almost like they apologize when they ring it up, like, you saved 20 cents because you're a rewards member. But then here's the shocker. Here's what it costs. So I think people are starting to really realize that we're getting hit. I talk all the time about if you live in California, you are paying through the nose when it comes to gas. So Gavin, don't recall me, Newsom, wants to delay a hike in the state gas tax, calling it a modest $523 million gas tax holiday, although he's getting some pushback from people on that. We'll see whether or not that happens. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who wants to be president next time around, wants to provide $1 billion in relief to suspend the state's gas tax for millions of Floridians. Email me anytime, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Flags, here we are racing toward the finish, and with a fair or foul, Jeremy Paulson, our technical maestro for this show, joins us for this exciting segment. Hey, Jeremy.
Yay.
Yay. Something that he and I talk a lot about is because it's important to us for different reasons, would be sleep. And I know sleep is important to many of you, and many of you struggle with it. One of the commercials that I loved is that I've loved listening to, and it just popped back up again, is Liev Schreiber, who does this commercial. He's the actor who does it. He's just got the greatest voice, but he physically is also in it, too. And I want you to hear this. It's very clever, and it's really talking about sleep. Take a listen.
We've got a problem, America. Junk sleep. It's what you get from a bed that isn't right for you. Keep calling Kevin Keith, junk sleep.
Left your laptop on the bus?
Junk sleep. Can't straight think? Slouchy. Junk sleep puts bags under your eyes.
Junk sleep makes you forget the one thing your boss said not to forget. But...
Knock, knock. Who's there?
junk sleep.
What you need is real sleep. The kind of sleep you get from a bed that matches you. Not him, not her, or whoever's in that. So maybe it's time to ask yourself, did you get out of the wrong side of bed this morning? Or the wrong bed altogether?
There you go. Junk sleep. Is it tough? How many hours of sleep do you get? You know, we keep hearing the 8 hours of sleep would be the ultimate, the best that you could get. Inefficient sleep has been linked to higher risk of conditions like heart disease and obesity. So, Jeremy, I pose this to you. 6 to 8 hours sleep versus whatever you can get, fair or foul. What do you say?
I think you sleep enough when you pass away, so foul.
So, hey, tough tiddlywinks. If I get 5 hours sleep, that's what it is, right? I love it. You and I think, have been in the same boat. I've worked insane hours in my life, and I have definitely had, you know, days where I get 4 hours of sleep or less. I've like run to get on a plane where I think I slept 2.5 hours, and that was nasty because then you feel like, you do feel like where he says in the commercial, bags under the bags under the bags of the eyes, you feel like there's something, like you have cauliflower eyes or something, you can barely open them. And
scratchy eyes.
Yeah, scratchy. And it's not, there is, I think you can't keep them open. You can't keep them open. And I do think, I mean, we know there's benefits to sleep, and good for all of you who can do that because you have different kinds of jobs or you have families that handle all the other things that have to be done or whatever it is. I do think there is a number that we all have where you just can't think clearly and you are not going to do great. You're going to make those silly mistakes at work or whatever, and you're going to be a little bit moody. It's going to be tough. And what's that number for you? What's that, like you have to at least get this amount of sleep?
Well, they say 6 to 8. I think it's 5 to 7. I tried to get 7. 7's like go. I feel like 8 is too much. When you ever sleep too much, you get up and you're like still tired.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I slept all day. Why am I still tired? So 7. 7's my go-to. If I get under 5, I'm not a happy camper.
Yeah, me too. 5. If I get under 5, I'm not good. I'm like, I can function, but I don't like it. And I'm in that 6 to 7. I mean, if I'm happy if I get 7, I'm the same. My number's the same as yours. If I'm 7, I'm good. And if I got too much sleep, and I have had that happen to me, you're right, then forget it. I'm sleeping on through. If for some reason I'm like a polar bear and something bizarre happens and I get to sleep, then I'm toast for that day too. So it's weird. I think you can get too much sleep. It's interesting because sleep, a lot of people aren't getting sleep because they're stressed at the whole pandemic thing. And certainly we know that it hurts diabetes and obesity. That is true. So I also think it's how many days in a row you go with that number. Right? So like if you had 2 days in a row where you had 4 hours sleep, that's not good.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. All right, so vending machines versus the honor box with goodies, fair or foul? Do you prefer the vending machines?
This was a tough one for me because I have no idea what an honor box is.
Okay, I'm going to explain. Honor box at some places, and this is becoming more popular. It was becoming more popular at big companies, but even small companies. I worked at a radio station in the central coast of California, K-Bear. It was a hard rock station where they had an honor box, meaning there was snacks, like cookies and just like what you would have in a vending machine, but they had a basket and you just put the money in it. So if you were working overnight, you're working whenever you're working, and you got something.
So it's like an honor system, like
right,
trusting you.
That you're going to pay for it, you're not going to just take it.
I feel like a lot of people would just take it.
Yeah, there's no honor. I'm hungry, I'm getting those crackers.
Not these days.
There's no, you're right. Yeah, they're letting people shoplift in San Francisco. Oh, they're shoplifting. We'll just take some pictures of them, but we're not going to prosecute them.
Exactly. There's
Yeah, so Honor Box, I think, is probably out the window with a lot of people. Vending machines are okay. It's not great to rely on eating on vending machines, and that can happen when you work somewhere and you fly in at the last second. And then there is always the nasty if your money gets stuck in the vending machine. You know, like something gets stuck, you buy something, it's your last $2 in your pocket, and then the Cheez-Its won't fall down.
And then you shake it, and then you get in trouble for shaking the vending machine.
Yep. Oh, we know that same path. I bet you lots of people listening know that, too. I'm going to just say right now, it's fair to shake the machine if your thing doesn't come down. Just shake it. Tell your boss I said you could do it. I mean, just shake the machine. All right, this is a very big one because I've noticed in traveling and just even recreation I've seen this, like at different places that I've been, because more people will have a bottle with them, they travel with a water bottle, they just can, even in airports, they can go fill it up. Not like there's an actual place where you fill up with water, like a water station. Or you have to buy the bottled water, which is pretty pricey in some places. It can be $3 or more. So $3 bottled water versus bringing your water bottle, having to drag it around while you're traveling.
I believe in bringing a water bottle.
Nice.
But I need to drink more water. That's one of my...
That's one of your resolutions for 2022?
I drink like tea and stuff.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting thing, too, because when people are trying to get in shape and everything else, what do we always talk about? You're dehydrated. Drink more water. How much water should you drink? And so I, since December, have been drinking massive water. I think I drink 60 ounces of water a day or more, but somewhere like 60 at least. And so because of that, I've gotten stuck where I've had to have the bottled water, but I'm like you, I'd rather just carry the bottle with me. It just makes more sense. I mean, why am I getting this stupid plastic water somewhere? So I don't like to do it, and I just notice how high the amounts go up of the water you're, you know, getting. Mm-hmm. But yes, it is about drinking water. And now this is true wherever you're listening to us. They do have lots of places where you can fill it up. So you just get one of those bottles. They're everywhere. You get them for free half the time.
It's better than paying $3 for that tap water.
Yes. That's what I think. And like I said, it goes up and up, and it depends on the kind that you get. I even have a Soda Stream. My brother got us a Soda Stream for Christmas, and that's really good. It's the fizzy water. I like that. Yeah.
Do you like carbonated water?
Yeah, that's the fizzy water, the carbonated.
Yeah.
So I like it, and because we make it, so you just have it at home. So you just make a bottle of it, and it tastes good. I think it prevents you from eating other snacks.
I don't like carbonated stuff.
Oh, see, we disagree on that. No. All right, a great fair or foul, perfect way to end the show. Thanks, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
And thanks to all of you. Try to get your Jeremy and Kate recommended 7 hours of sleep. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Pau D'Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.